Blessing to be in the house of the Lord, my friends, and as we are wrapping up 2024, is it that, I don't know, to myself, it's kind of an odd thing to still say, right? 2025, here we come, and I trust and hope that we would do more. If the Lord Jesus Christ tarries his return, I trust that we would do more this coming year than we did for the Lord this year. I pray and hope that we get closer to the Lord this coming year than we are this year. No matter where we are, may we never settle to be content in our spiritual growth. May we continue to aspire to higher ground. May we continue to climb that spiritual ladder to be closer and closer to our Lord and Savior, to know Him even more, to be like Him even more. Perhaps you're here and you don't even know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Perhaps He's just some person out there. My friends, can I share with you that the Bible tells us that He loves you. That the Lord Jesus Christ came, God in human form, to live that sinless life, to die on the cross for your sins, my sins, all of our sins, and that He rose from the dead to conquer eternal, to conquer death and to give us eternal life. To all that believe in Jesus Christ as His or her personal Savior, you get the free gift of everlasting life, the forgiveness of your sins. You have to do it by faith alone. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." If you're here today without Jesus Christ, won't you receive Him by faith alone before you even leave the service today? Title of this morning's message, Deception is Everywhere. Deception is everywhere. I got a number of verses that I'll read for us today here. Some from Revelation, some from the epistles of John. And so do forgive me if I kind of misspeak my Bible references today. I practiced this several times, but I'll be quoting from, for example, 1 John 1, 2 John 1, 1 John 2, 2 John 1. We'll go slow together. I'll make sure we kind of follow through the scriptures, okay? But the thought is, as we come now into 2025, there's so much out there, right? There's so much information overload. But may we be reminded of just how exclusive truth is, and what it means for a Christian to truly walk in truth. And so deception is everywhere. Let's start by going to 2 John. We'll start there. 2 John, and so the epistle of John, he wrote 3 right before Revelation. And so this is towards the end of the Bible. 2 John, chapter 1, is just only one chapter. But then verse 7, this is our main verse today. And then we'll see some additional John verses. And then, Lord willing, we'll come back to this epistle towards the second half of the message. 2 John chapter 1, let's go to verse 7. And the word of God tells us, "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." Let us pray. Abba, Father, thank you, Father, for your goodness to us and to me. Thank you, Father, for your precious, precious word. Father, the only beacon of light, the only source of life in this dark and death-filled, sin-cursed world. And Father, we pray that even today, that the Holy Spirit of God will have free reign. Hide me behind the cross. Use me, Father. Lord, in spite of myself, Lord. And so, Father, I confess my frail is as dust to you, Lord and Father. But thank you for remembering that and having mercy on me. And so, Father, I ask that your word proceedeth out of my mouth, that the Holy Spirit power, that you anoint these lips of clay, that, Father, you would speak to the hearers what you would have us to hear from you. Help us to be truly thankful, but also guarded with the truth, Lord, to cling to the truth that we have, how exclusive it is, and what it means to truly walk in truth as a child of God. And Father, we ask if there's any wayward soul, Father, as I think even just this past week, Lord, literally billions celebrating Christmas. Yet how many, Father, do it for the wrong reasons? How many aren't even saved and going to heaven? Father, how sad it is for someone to celebrate Christmas their whole life and die and go to a devil's hell if they've never repented of their sin and trusted only in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to have that saving faith, not just a dead faith, a saving faith that transforms from the inside out, that you make us a child of God. And so, Father, we ask, Holy Spirit of God, if there's any wayward soul who's not saved, who's lost today, Holy Spirit of God, God, please speak to them. Draw them to thyself that they'll be saved even today. For those who are saved, may this encourage us. May this remind us with the joy and the privilege to walk in truth. And we love you, Father, in Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. A very profound verse, almost a sad verse, because John, of course, he's the beloved disciple, and he's the last surviving boy, the last surviving of the 12 original disciples. Of course, the church tradition holds that they were all martyred. Of course, we know that Judas betrayed him, but the rest of them all were martyred in service. John was the only one, according to church tradition, that lived out a full life and died a old age. But here he is, as he's compiling all the books of the Bible for us towards the end here in 2 John, before he writes Revelation, of course, his last epistle. But he's saying not very comforting news, right? And so he's saying many deceivers are entered into. It's not just one deceiver. I mean, one's bad enough. Deception is spread by deceivers, liars, right? Not truth tellers, opposite of that. You know, they bear lies and deception. And one is bad enough, but this is many. And not just into one confined corner of one county. No. Many deceivers are entered into the world, all over the world. Even at that point in John's life, how much more even now? And all these deceivers have one thing in common. They deny Jesus Christ. They might say Jesus Christ, but they deny that he's God. And to deny that Jesus Christ is God is to deny that he's Christ. Because to say that he's Christ, Christ means anointed one. And anointed, there's a very specific context to that. The anointed Son of Man, that is the only begotten Son of God, who is God in the flesh. Okay, that is what it means to be the anointed. Yes, Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He's the Christ. He's the anointed, meaning he's God in human form. Okay, and so these are what all the deniers have in common. They deny that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. We just did this last Sunday for Christmas. You know, the Word of God, the eternal Word of God, was made flesh and dwelt among us. That is our Savior. Jesus Christ is not just some nice guy. He's God. That's amazing. And he's more than just a prophet. It would not be a big deal. It'd be nice, but it's not an earth-shattering deal when a prophet was born. There have been so many prophets in the Bible. It won't be a pretty nice deal, but it won't be a huge deal for a king to be born. There have been hundreds of kings that have been born. But never has God, in this sense, come as a human to be not just a king, but initially as a sacrifice. And that is who Jesus Christ is, God in human form. And so that's why it's such a big deal, but there's so many false prophets today that deny that Jesus Christ is God. And so John is saying here to the believers, he's writing to believers, be on guard. Many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. And so he's warning believers of false teachers. And so these teachers aren't just wrong. He calls them what? This is a deceiver and an anti-Christ. In fact, if you turn with me to Matthew 16, and then verse 16, just real quick here, Matthew 16:16. See, the world, by and large, might say Jesus of Nazareth is the Savior. But it's not the same as saying Jesus is the Christ. Jesus Christ. Christ is not his last name. Christ is his title, which means he is God, the anointed one, the Son of Man, who is the only begotten Son of God, the only Son of Man who is God. Okay, so let's go to Matthew 16, verse 16. Notice what it says here. Jesus had asked his disciples, "Who say ye that I am?" Now, it might be interesting to know what someone else thinks about Jesus. But at the end of the day, my friends, and especially when you're standing before God's judgment throne, the only thing that would matter is what you think of Jesus. And look at verse 16 here, Matthew 16, verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Everyone knew that Christianity, and it is an undisputable fact that Christianity was founded by a man named Jesus. If you want his full name, it's Jesus of Nazareth. Okay, that's the way that they would address him. Nazareth is his hometown where he grew up. Jesus of Nazareth. And some might say Jesus Christ, just out of habit, that's how his name is put together. But Christ would mean anointed, meaning he's God in human form. And this is specifically what Peter said, that thou art the Christ, the Son, capital S, of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah," that's son of Jonah, okay? "For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but who? My Father, which is in heaven." And so this is amazing. God revealed it to Peter. And when the Holy Spirit of God convicts us of Jesus Christ as the only begotten of the Father, as the Holy Spirit of God even today convicts lost sinners that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, is the Savior, may we not reject that. May we not blaspheme that. May we not turn our necks away from that. Deception is everywhere. It has always been Satan's ammo. It's always been his strong suit. Mark 13, verse 5 and 6. I'll just read that for us. And Jesus answering said unto them, he said, "Take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Now that's more sad news. This is prophecy, so we know it's going to happen. It has already happened. And what Jesus is saying, people are going to come, false prophets are going to come in the name of Jesus, saying they are Jesus, but they're not. They're false, you know, false prophets, false Christ, antichrist, and people are going to think that they're going to heaven only to end up waking up in hell. I mean, this is horrible. My friends, if you've never truly trusted Jesus Christ alone as your Savior, you have to do so even today. Not baptism. Baptism doesn't save you. Your confirmation, church membership, communion, none of that saves you. Only Jesus Christ, and you have to truly believe in Him as your Lord and Savior to be saved. Satan is the master deceiver. In fact, let's go to all the way to Revelation, and so we'll be here for a while. Let's go to Revelation chapter 12. This is how God Himself describes Satan, that deceiver. Okay, let's go to Revelation chapter 12. Deception is everywhere, and Satan is big at work today. Revelation chapter 12, let's go to verse 9. And the word of God says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan." And how does God describe him here? "Which deceiveth the whole world." Now, this hasn't happened yet, okay? But at that point in the future, he would have deceived the whole world. He's done so much of it already. "He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Now let's go to chapter 20, also book of Revelation, chapter 20, excuse me, and let's go to verse 3, Revelation chapter 20, let's go to verse 3, "And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more," whew, finally, for 1,000 years, "till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season." So, of course, this is referring to the millennial reign of Christ, when Christ would reign on earth at Jerusalem for 1,000 years. During this time, Satan will be locked up, that's wonderful, in a bottomless pit, so that he can't deceive for at least 1,000 years. And now it does say here, at the end of 1,000 years, he would be loosed, right? Just a little season. Now, what do you think he's going to do when he's loosed? Maybe after 1,000 years of timing out, he'll like, I think I'm done deceiving, right? No, okay. In fact, let's go to chapter 20, but verse 7. Let's go to verse 7. And the word of God says here, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan was loosed out of his prison." And what does he do? "And should go out to deceive the nations," of course, "which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea." he's continuing to deceive. In fact, if you look at verse 10, every time the devil is brought up here, it seems to tack on the label of deceiver. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Deception is everywhere. Deception is out there. In fact, 1 John, so we'll go back just a few books to 1 John. So this is one of the first of the three epistles of John. 1 John chapter 2. Satan's deceptions are always contrary to Scripture, always opposite to Scripture. And so 1 John chapter 2 and then verse 22. 1 John 2:2. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. My friends, if you reject Jesus Christ, it's because you've been deceived by Satan. And if you tell others to reject Jesus Christ, you're a deceiver and you're acting as an Antichrist. This is huge. Verse 23, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. When Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit of God descended like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven and all could bear witness. Remember the voice? God the Father said, what? This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. God testified that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Savior of the world. It is only the liar and the deceiver, Satan, that would deny what God has already proclaimed. But to compound the matter, deception is not just out there and everywhere. Sadly, deception is also in here. So turn with me to Jeremiah. Perhaps you know where I'm going. Very infamous verse. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 is a precious verse, but it's a hard-hitting verse is what I mean. But let's go to Jeremiah 17, the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah. I could just read it, but it's worth for you to see it with our own eyes. Jeremiah 17, and let's go to verse 9. Jeremiah 17, let's go to verse 9. And the Word of God says here, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? My friends, the Bible is telling me that my heart and your heart is deceitful above all things, meaning everything else. In this context, it sounds like it's saying even more so than Satan. And yes, Satan, I might not be able to, tempt someone else to sin the way that Satan could, but I certainly can deceive myself more efficiently than Satan can deceive me. The idea is, yes, Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden. And so, yes, even though it's possible for man to do great deeds of benevolence, we have that knowledge of good, wonderful things that can be done. But man also has the knowledge of evil, unfathomable, abominable, wicked things that knows no bounds. When you read in the Scriptures how back in the days of war and the kings and there was a famine in the land, how parents would eat their own children. I mean, it just goes on. When you talk about idol worshiping false gods, where people will burn their children in fire. When you talk about all the sins that happen, and then it showcased as pride. I mean, I'm just saying, this is the wickedness of the human heart. The heart, all human hearts, is deceitful above all things, and what? Desperately what? Wicked. Who can know it? In other words, the Bible is telling me, hey, I can't even trust my own heart. So I can't trust what's out there, because sin's everywhere. Deceivers are all over the place. I can't trust what's in here, because my heart will deceive me. What do I do? There's only one person that we can trust is Jesus Christ. There's only one place we can go. That's the Word of God. I want us to understand, my friends, just how important, critical, but exclusive truth is. Because it's like, you know, the floor is lava. Okay, well, the floor is deception. Okay, so everything is deceit. All we have is this. Okay, we all got our Bibles. That's it. Once you step out, you know, you're going to get burned. Okay, and so it's lies and all lies. It sounds good, but just like rat poison, is what 99.99% of it's pretty good stuff. It's just that 0.001 that cyanide, you know, kills you. You know, and so you know, truth is all that we have in Jesus Christ. By the way, Jesus Christ described himself as I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, through Jesus Christ. That's all we have. Now, that's all we need. So, that's praise God for that. But understand that we can deceive ourselves so easily. I'm going to read you some verses here. Why God warns us not to trust ourselves. Well, it tells us right here. Again, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? If my heart had this label, and I met my heart in an alley, and my heart said, psst, wing, come here, I got something for you. I'm not going to follow. I shouldn't, right? Because this is how our heart is. Okay, but 1 Corinthians 3:18, I'll just read these verses here. Let no man deceive himself, for if any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know why the Bible is telling us over and over again, don't be deceived, don't be deceived, don't be deceived, because we have a tendency to deceive ourselves. Or just taking someone's deception, says, hey, sounds good, I'll just run with it. No, don't be deceived. excuse me. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And so if we just hear God's word but don't do it, we're just deceiving ourselves. Romans 3:4, here's a good one. Let God be true, but every man a liar. That's not to deflate our ego. Well, it is to humble us, okay? Let God be true, but every man a liar. It's for us to depend 100% only on God and his precious word, the Lord Jesus Christ. So how hopeless is it when we can't trust anything out there and in here? Well, praise God that we have his word. John 14:6. Let's go there. I just quoted that, but let's go there. John 14:6. Deception is everywhere. The truth is only in Jesus Christ. And so praise God, he is the truth. John 14:6. Wonderful verse. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. As wicked as we all are, we still have access to God, the goodness, the grace, the love of God through Jesus Christ, but you have to believe in him. Once you trust in Jesus Christ, you're saved forever, but you're going to mean it. You're saved forever. You're born again by the Spirit of God. And then we have to walk in truth. Now, how does Jesus describe Satan in John 8:44? Let's go. Now, Jesus described himself in John 14:6. We just read that. But how does Jesus describe Satan in John 8:44? Turn with me there, because I want us to see this very, very profound connection. Okay, so let's go to John 8:44 in the terms that Jesus uses to describe Satan. So John 8:44, Jesus says here, speaking about Satan, okay? Ye are of your father, the devil. These are those that have rejected Jesus Christ. And the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, what's amazing here, Jesus calls Satan two things. He calls him a liar, right? He calls him a liar, but he also calls him a what? What's the other, is it noun? Yes, what's the other name he calls Satan? murderer. Liar and murderer. Now, liar I get. Right, you know, he lied in the Garden of Eden, you know, and anti-truth is lie. Okay, I get that. Jesus Christ is truth. Satan is anti-God, so it's anti-truth. So it's lying, deception. So liar I get. That's the opposite of truth. But kind of got me thinking, where does murderer come from? Now remember, God is love, right? We know that God is love. 1 John 1:8, for example. But don't have to turn there, but God is love. Bible tells us over and over again, God is love. Since Satan is anti-God and anti-truth, he is also anti-love, right? Now, hold on that thought. Let's go to John 10:10 real quick. John 10:10. John 10:10. Here, Satan's referred to by Jesus as a thief, but notice what his plan is. Look at verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal, but not just steal, and to kill, and to destroy. Now hang on here. This is huge. The first half of verse 10 is Satan's, what he does. The second half is what Jesus does. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. How does Christ give us life? He gives it to us. I just said it. He gives it to us, okay? Satan wants to steal what God gives. And Jesus gives life. Satan is anti-God. Whatever God is truth. And so Satan is anti-truth. When God's truth is hand in hand with love, Satan also has to be hand in hand. Oh boy, I'm sorry. I don't know why this is having feedback here. I apologize about that. Because Satan is anti-God. Whatever God is, Satan is opposite. Jesus is love and truth. And so therefore, Satan is deception and destruction. Everything that God is, Satan is not. Make sense? Now, the truth always goes hand in hand with love. If you go back to John 8 with me, and then go up two verses from where we were. So verse 42. Okay, I want us to see this. Jesus is speaking to his rejectors. Notice what he says here, John 8, verse 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father. So if they were in truth, right? Because God is truth. If they were on team truth, if they're walking in truth, ye would what? Love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. To receive Jesus, the truth, is to love Jesus. Do we realize how intertwined is truth and love is? Because God is truth, God is love, Satan is anti-God, anti-truth, anti-love, anti-life to destroy and kill, right? Now, let's go all the way back to 2 John where we started. Let's go back to 2 John, so one of the three epistles at the end of the Bible, 2 John, just only the one chapter, but we'll pick it up in verse 1. All the way back to 2 John, verse number 1. Because the scripture is drawing a undeniable parallel and connection between truth and love. Because that's what God is. Versus deception, lies, and destruction. Okay, that's what Satan is. Okay, so let's go to verse 1. Now, John is writing this. He says, the elder unto the elect lady, that's the church, and her children, the members, whom I love in the truth. Amen. They're saved. He's saved. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. Okay, so John is saying he's saved, they're saved. And what does John feel towards them? He loves them. He loves them, the fellow believers. And not John only, but all they that have known the truth. So everyone else that knows the truth loves them because they're all saved. Verse 2, for the truth's sake. Now this is amazing. Which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. In verse 2, the truth is described as a person. Not just facts. The truth is described as a person, How does Jesus Christ describe himself? The way, the truth, and the life. It is the indwelling Spirit of Christ that indwells all believers forever. That's what verse 2, that's who verse 2 is talking about. Jesus Christ, the truth, who's in us, indwells us. Verse 3, grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father. Amen. In what and what? In truth and love. Those are inseparable, okay? Now, that's kind of his intro. Now, he starts by saying some good news. He says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. Hey, that's great. You guys keep it up. You're walking in truth. So you have the truth, you're saved, but you're living the truth. You're walking in truth. As we have received a commandment from the Father. And so they're doing what Christians ought to be doing. Now, what specifically are they doing? Are they, you know, reading the Bibles? Are they praying? Well, hopefully yes to all that. But what specific attribute, what specific behavior is John going to praise and keep encouraging them to do? Okay, let's go to verse 5. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we have had, from the beginning, that we what? Love one another. And so he told them, I'm so glad that you guys are walking in truth. Keep it up. Keep what? Loving one another. Because walking in truth is loving one another. When we as Christians love one another, we walk in truth. Verse 6, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Now, for many deceivers are entered into the world, that's our main verse, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. And so what John is really encouraging the believers to do, keep doing it. Keep loving one another. You know why? Everything that God has done unprompted for you and I has been motivated by love. God made man to have dominion over the earth. He didn't have to. He chose to do it. God made Eve wife for Adam. He didn't have to. He did it because he loved Adam. He wanted to bless Adam. God provided animal skins to cover their shame and to have the blood sacrifice for their sins when they transgressed in the Garden of Eden. Okay, foreshadowing Jesus Christ when he would come later on. Okay? Yes, but God did that out of love. Everything that God has done for you and I, unprompted. I mean unprompted because, yes, I get it. God also judges in his wrath. But that's because I reap what I sow, and that's on me. Okay, what I'm saying? Okay, God does chastise when I do wrong, okay? But on his own, what God does is motivated by love. God gives, gives, gives. God loves, 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 loves. He gives us, he takes his love, gives it to us. Takes his love, gives it to us. When you and I love one another, we are walking in truth because God is love and God is truth. Does it make sense? That pattern that God has in relation of him to us, when we copy that, exemplify that to each other, my love is for you, my brother. My love is for you, my sister. That's how God does it, how he's always done it with us. The deceivers, those that deny that Jesus Christ, so that, you know, false prophets, false teachers, the world is full of this. In fact, the whole theme of the world is what? Self-love, right? That's the whole point of love, of the word, love yourself. You want this. You want that. Get, get, get. True love is what? Give, give, give. Okay? And so when we live a life of loving one another, that is walking in truth. It is huge. We cannot separate walking in truth with loving one another, because that's how God is. God is truth and God is love. Okay? Not just this one passage. I got couple more to share here, actually. In fact, let's go to... I got to watch the time here. Okay, let's go to 1 John. Yeah, I got to make sure that my first and second is correct. First John 2, okay? So we were in 2 John 1, now we're going to 1 John 2. All right. I'm going to trip myself up here. Okay, so 1 John 2. All right, let's go to verse 1. Okay, let's go here. 1 John 2, verse 1. Okay, now we've done this passage before, leading up to this verse. But 1 John chapter 2, right before those verses, you know, it talks about confessing our sins, okay? And let's go to verse 1 of chapter 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, excuse me, that ye sin not. All right, so don't sin. We get that. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. Right? Just how Satan is. And the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Makes sense. If I say I'm with God, I should do what God does, right? Verse 7. Brethren, now this is going to sound very similar to what we read in 2 John. Brethren, I have no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. This is what Jesus proclaimed. And now we get to do it. Verse 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Talk is cheap. If someone says that he is a Christian but hates his brother, the Bible says he's not saved. Now, the deceiver would say, all you have to do is just believe in your head, you know? Just believe in your head. But if you don't have a heart belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, that's just a dead faith that cannot save you. The deceiver would say, it's not that big a deal. It's nice if you love one another, but it's not that big a deal. Well, is it not? In fact, you can argue that there's nothing greater. Because that's the commandment that we are supposed to do as a Christian. It's a proof of our salvation. That's a big deal. Look at verse 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Now, what's so amazing about this, if you go all the way down to verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And this is what would draw my love from others, is if I love the world. This is what would draw the love from my family, is if I love the world. What would draw my love away from God, is if I love the world. For all that is in the world, the lusts of the flesh and the lusts of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. This is all self-love, right? Feels good, looks good, you know, it makes me good. Okay, pride of life, you know, I want it, right? Don't do this. This is not of God. This is of Satan. Now, let's go to chapter 3, same book, 1 John. Let's go to chapter 3. Let's go to verse 10. In this is the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. That makes sense. Neither he that loveth not his brother. You cannot separate loving one another from walking in truth. Verse 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. There it is again. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, just in case there was any doubters. People might say, oh, he's the son of Adam, biologically. Okay, in this case, but he's sold out to Satan. He's not saved. He was he belonged to Satan, the wicked one. What did he do? He slew his brother. Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Let's go to 1 John, same 1 John, but chapter 4. Chapter 4. Let's go to verse 7. 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, what does it say here? Let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You cannot separate loving one another from walking in truth and loving God. All that God has done to us, again, I'm excluding the times that God chastises me for my sin, okay? But everything else that God has ever done has been love for me. Love for me. He didn't have to give me that job. He didn't have to give me that car. He didn't have to give me my family, my wife, my home, this church, all these, my, these clothes, my food. God gave it to me because he loves me, because he loves you. When we do that to others, we are walking in truth. When we do things for myself, that's antichrist. Make sense? Okay. And so, God is love. Verse 9. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. John 3:16. That's love, right? That's the whole point of John 3:16. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, don't miss this. In verse 10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Yes, we are to love God back, obviously. But what verse 11 is telling us to do is not just love God back, but to love one another. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That's huge. Now, why is John so adamant about this truth, this doctrine? Well, let's go back to 2 John. We're going to wrap it up here. 2 John, so next epistle over. We're warned about the deceivers in verse 7. Let's go to verse 8. We'll wrap it up here in verse 8. And John says, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought. Lose what things? He's not talking about salvation. Once you're saved, you cannot lose your salvation. You're saved forever. But you can lose your rewards. But that we receive a what reward? Full reward. And so here's the bottom line. If we are saved, God wants us to walk in truth. That's a given. How do we walk in truth? By loving one another. Not loving the world, loving one another. When we live a life of walking in truth, we are living a life of loving one another. And loving is not just in thought, okay? It's in deed, right? You love, you give. So a life of giving, of giving, of giving, starts in the home, starts in the church, continues in the neighborhood, whatever missions. A whole life on the way God was to us, is how we are to others, okay? So a life of loving and loving one another, loving one another, loving another. When we do this, we will have, by the grace of God, a full reward. And this is what John wanted them not to be deceived by. Obviously, not, you know, false doctrine, I mean, false gospel, different Jesus. Another gospel, another Jesus that cannot save, that's heresy. But even among those who are Christians who can't lose their salvation, praise God, but you can lose your reward. If I start thinking, well, I'm good to go now, I'm saved, well, I had a devotion planned up for Tuesday at a fellowship, just to challenge us for, as we wrap up the old year, but I'll kind of just spill the beans right now, just a little 1 minute teaser of what the devotion was going to be like on Tuesday. But the Bible tells us there will be those that stand at the judgment seat of Christ and have zero crowns to show for. Zero crowns. Still saved. Still have a mansion in heaven. Still saved. Still have an inheritance undefiled. Still saved. Still have a new name and eternal life forever with God. But have zero crowns. Now it's going to be to our shame. Because we want to have something to cast at our Savior's feet. Okay? So it's not for us to hoard. is for us to cast at the feet of our saviors, of our Savior. But those crowns are for those that walk in truth, those that run the race. Okay, those. And by the way, spiritual growth is absolutely necessary. But the goal of spiritual growth is for the work of the ministry. We get crowns for the work of the ministry. We don't get crowns for growing up. You know what I'm saying? It's like only the adults get paychecks for working a job. When a kid grows up to a teenager, he doesn't get a you don't get a paycheck for growing up. You need to grow up so you can work. Then you get the rewards. Okay, the idea is we have to grow spiritually. So once we are spiritually matured enough, we can labor for crowns. But some of us never get out of the gate. And our whole Christian life, we just squander it, growing kind of, and never make it to the launching zone, and then never really take off. I have zero crowns to show for. That was my devotion on Tuesday, but I'll give you a little snippet. The idea is, knowing therefore, Paul says, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Because the judgment seat of Christ is meant to bless the laborers, but it is also meant to terrify the slackers. Okay, it does both. Those who run the race, they're like, praise God. God sees me when I try. God knows my heart. God, you know, it hurts to give and give and give and give. I get bitten back. It hurts. Jesus says, I know. That's okay. Life is a vapor. I'll reward you anyway. Live your life for me. That's the path that Christians ought to walk. And so it's easy for, you know, don't get discouraged. To a laborer is to encourage us. But for us who can do better, hopefully it's a wake-up call. We can't separate walking in truth and loving one another. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what a, excuse me, what an awesome thought that you are love and all you've done for me. Even when you punish me, Lord, there's mercy. Even that, there's love. And even when you punish me, Lord, it's for my own good. Even that is love. Lord, it's just love all around. And Lord, I thank you so much for your grace, for saving my soul, for sending Jesus Christ to save all who would trust in him. Help us not to be weary in well-doing. Help us to walk in truth. Help us to love one another as you are loved, Father. Bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. As the